Have you chanted the Angulimala Pavita included in the blessing today? Are you aware of that? Have you heard of that Pavita? It's a very ancient one coming directly from the Buddha. It was actually given by the Buddha himself, especially meant to protect an expecting mother and the unborn child, and also the whole process of childbirth, to give protection for that. I think most of you have heard of Angulimala, is it? He was the most famous robber and even murderer, or infamous, we have to say, in the time of the Buddha. It looks like he was kind of misled by his spiritual teacher in a kind of evil religion, and he considered it a kind of religious duty of killing people and probably worshipping one of these more like demonic deities and being misled by his own spiritual teacher into this kind of evil religion. But he had killed in the end 999 people, and he would wear a necklace made out of their fingers. This is a name. Angulimala means finger garland. So after he had murdered people, he would cut off a finger and then string them all together like a garland or like a necklace with the bones. And he was so feared that even the king was worried, and when he got with his elite soldiers, he had 500 cavalry elite soldiers trying to catch him, and he felt that he probably will fail. So smart and skillful he was in his abilities to hide and run away in a large forest. So the whole countryside was afraid of him. And then the Buddha, with his psychic powers, noticed that the next person going through that forest would be his own mother. And this murderer, Angulimala, he had made a vow that he would kill 1,000 people. And the Buddha also could see that despite all the bad things he had done, at the same time he had great power me from past life, he had done good things. And he even had the ability to realize Nibbana, to become enlightened. It's a special psychic power of the Buddha that he can see the maturity of the faculties in other beings. That is more than just mind reading, because sometimes even a very good person may have bad thoughts at a certain time, but largely they are very good qualities in their heart. And sometimes even a very bad person may have some good thoughts. So if someone can mind read, they may be misled by that. They'd see at that time they're just thinking good things, and then they draw the wrong conclusion, that's really a good person. But the Buddha can look deeper, and he can see in generally deep in the subconscious mind how strong are the defilements, how strong are the parami and the spiritual qualities. So he could see that in the case of Angulimala, among all the evil he had done in this life, there was a lot of goodness kind of buried, but still there in his heart. However, if he were to kill his own mother, then the bad karma would have been so overpowering that there would be no chance for him anymore to realize Dhamma in that life. And it would be certain that he would be reborn in hell for a long time. For that reason, and also to free the country from this terror, the Buddha went himself, and he walked into that forest where Angulimala would attack people. And Angulimala saw the Buddha walking out of his hideout, and he was very surprised. And he says, the people have traveled in caravans of 30, 40, 50, even 100 men armed through this forest to protect themselves against me, but I could still defeat them. And this ascetic is just walking alone. What is going on there? So he started following the Buddha. And then the Buddha used his psychic powers that it would appear like he's walking very slowly, but at the same time Angulimala could not catch up with him, however fast he would run. And he was a very unusual person. He could actually catch up with galloping horses and running elephants. People have tried to go through this forest and just on a horse, high speed, or an elephant. But he was so fast, he could catch up with that. But now the Buddha, using his psychic power, and he walks after the Buddha and runs after the Buddha. And although the Buddha seems to be walking very slowly and dignified, he just can't catch up. And that surprises him. He notices there's something very unusual going on. So he calls out to the Buddha, "Ditta Samana, stop, ascetic. Stop." And the Buddha turns around and says, "I have stopped. You should stop as well." And that really struck Angulimala. And he thought, normally these ascetics, they're supposed to be speaking truth. But this ascetic, now somehow he's walking so fast that I can't catch up with him, although I'm the fastest one in the country. And he says, "I have stopped." Is that a lie? What's going on? So he calls out to the Buddha and he asks him, "What do you mean, stop? You're walking so fast that I can't catch up with you. You haven't stopped." And then the Buddha explains that he has stopped harming any other beings, or even harming himself. This is what the Buddha meant by stopping, not walking or standing. Now that is a real important stopping. Now the Buddha has stopped committing any harm to anyone. And when he explained that to Angulimala, that had a huge effect on his mind. And after some more conversation, Angulimala decided to stop and to reform himself. And he even asked the Buddha to take ordination as a Buddhist monk. So this shows the tremendous power of the Buddha, that through his presence, through the vibes of peacefulness, and through skillful teaching, and also using psychic powers, that probably also helped, he was able to pacify the worst murderer and gangster in ancient India. And on top of him, he gained faith and became a Buddhist monk. So he started practicing as a Buddhist monk. And one day he was sitting close to the Buddha when the king Pasenadi came. And King Pasenadi mentioned something about Angulimala and that he has to do something about this terrorist, and he doesn't really know how to catch him because he is too fast and too smart, and even his elite cavalry can't get him. And then the Buddha asked him, "What would you do, great king, if Angulimala were to give up being a bandit, a gangster, and if he's completely stopped killing or harming other beings, and maybe if he even asked for ordination and ordained as a Buddhist monk and would train himself in complete harmlessness and complete peacefulness, developing virtue, samadhi and wisdom?" The king is a bit surprised and he says, "Yeah, I mean, if he actually did that, if he stopped killing and if he became a monk and he would really practice complete non-violence and train himself in all the rules of the monks and develop samadhi and insight, Now, I would treat him like any monk. I would invite him whether he requires any requisites. I would offer food to him. I would even pay respects to him. But how could such an evil person ever become a monk? Now, that's not really possible. So the Buddha just showed down the line a few places. And this great king is Angulimala. So the king was overcome by fear and he started trembling. And the Buddha had to calm him down. And when the king noticed, you know, that Angulimala is completely calm and peaceful and has these, you know, vibes of harmlessness, and he goes up to him and asks him whether he requires any requisites. But Angulimala is a very good monk. He practices very strictly, and even when the king comes up and asks if he needs anything, he says, you know, that his three robes are complete and he has no needs. A very frugal monk. It's easy, you know, when a powerful king asks whether you need anything to become greedy. You know, you can ask anything, but you know, everything fine. There's a beautiful story which shows the potential for change. And I know that sometimes in our society there's so many people who feel guilty or feel they're not good enough. Or maybe I can't meditate or have done bad things. And fair enough, we all may have done bad things in past lives. We may also have done bad things in this life. But I doubt that anyone here has killed 999 people, isn't it? And wearing their fingers as a necklace. Compared to that, the bad stuff we have been doing is probably noticeably less, isn't it? And he would have been even willing to kill his own mother if he had walked there. So it's usually much less. And if even Angulimala could do it, he could stop and change his ways so radically. And in fact, later he could practice and even realize full Nibbana. He became an Arahant. He completely abandoned all defilements, all hatred, completely eliminated, all desire, greed, delusion, completely gone. He managed to do that. That should give us all an encouragement. That should give us all the determination that just like Angulimala stopped, we can do that as well, whatever it is. We can completely reform ourselves and go in the opposite direction. It's possible. There's also a fascinating metaphor there. Now, I do believe that the story happened quite literally. You know, the Buddha does have these psychic powers. But there's also a fascinating metaphor, even in meditation. Because the Buddha stands for enlightenment, for Nibbana, for some bodhi, for realization. And have you ever tried in your meditation to run after enlightenment? Like Angulimala running after the Buddha? Metaphorically, we sit down and run after the Buddha, so to speak, run after wanting to become enlightened, wanting to realize Nibbana. And does it work when you meditate like that? Doesn't work, no? However fast you try to meditate or to run, metaphorically, you know, meditating and thinking, this is not how you ever get to awakening to the Buddha. But the way we get to awakening is actually stopping. So it's also a great teaching, if you haven't done anything major bad, but you're already at a stage where you have lots of good karma and you try and develop your formal meditation, the samadhi and vipassana, bhavana. It's a great teaching, not by running after enlightenment or running after jhana, samadhi, just by stopping right where you are in your heart, stopping. It's a good instruction sometimes in meditation. Just remind yourself, ditta, stop. This is the whole, and the samatha is calming down. There's another little fascinating story. Now, after some time, I think Angulimala was already an Arahant. So he had completely realized the end of suffering, the end of rebirth, the end of greed, hate, or delusion from his diligent practice. And he was going arms round in some village. And you can imagine that some people may have lost relatives being killed by Angulimala, or friends, and they have been really afraid and terrorized. And so there was still a lot of anger and hatred against him. And some people may not even believe that he has really stopped. They may think he's just using this monk's robes as some camouflage, or it's not honest. Would be quite natural. And he walked on arms round, and he got attacked. And people would throw stones and shards at him, wouldn't physically assault him. And he would just patiently endure it. He wouldn't retaliate in any way, and he would just get beaten up. Although, remember, this is a guy who could even somehow deal with a caravan of 50 armed people and still get them. But now he wouldn't retaliate or fight back. He would just endure it. And when the Buddha saw him coming back from arms round, his robes were torn and his bowl was broken and his head, the skin was split, and he was bleeding profusely from his head and dropping down his body. And when the Buddha saw him, he said, "Bear up, Brahmana, bear up. Because you're experiencing now the karma which otherwise you would have been roasting in hell for 100,000 of years." Because obviously he had made lots of bad karma with the killing of 999 people and all the fear he has induced in so many people. But now, being an Arahant, and due to his whole practice, and all the goodness he has done while he was practicing, developing loving kindness and radiating that, completely abstaining from hurting and harming, he has made so much good karma that the negative karma was diluted. The simile the Buddha likes to give for that, that's a really important one, because many people feel I may have too much bad karma and I can't really practice well. The simile the Buddha gives, your good karma, your punya, is like fresh drinking water, nice, clean spring water. If you only have good karma, drinking it is experiencing your karma. And it's nice drinking clean, fresh water. Bad karma, hurting, harming, stinginess, this is like salt. And they come together, because most people do both good and bad in different proportions. So now imagine if I put 3 heaped Chinese spoons of salt into this cup of water and mix it, and then I drink it. What will it be like? Can't really drink it even. If you were to drink that, you might even vomit. Now, this is the experience. If we experience our karma, if there are lots of bad karma and only little good karma. So what do I do now? I'm in this situation. There's these 3 heaped spoons of salt in this cup of nice spring water. And if I drink it, it's so unbearable. But I can't really take it out. I mean, nowadays you can with reverse osmosis, but the simile is not meant for high-tech chemistry. And I can't take it out with my hand or anything, or with a spoon. So what do I do? first of all, don't put more salt. Don't put more salt, it's just getting worse. But put lots of fresh water. Really heaps. Make lots and lots of good karma. Then all the bad karma gets diluted. And if you have 3 spoonsful of salt in a bathing tub, and then you drink from the bathing tub, what will it be like? Still a bit salty, not really nice, but it becomes drinkable. And if I put 3 heaped Chinese spoons of salt into Lake Wivenhoe, and you drink that? Can't even notice. Yeah. So that's a trick. Now, even if we have bad karma among our good karma, and even if we have bad experiences, tough things happening in our life, sickness or whatever else in the bad karma may manifest, first don't put more salt, don't make more bad karma. Keep the precepts in particular. Second, put lots of fresh drinking water, punya, good karma. And if you're smart, you can actually make so much good karma like Lake Wivenhoe. The generosity, for example, really in your heart meant to be given to the Sangha, not to any individual monk, but to the whole Sangha of the 4 quarters and the 3 times, then if it's really given with faith, with trust and confidence in the Buddha, in the principle of karma, with that intention, it's very powerful good karma. It's heaps of punya. This is an example for Angulimala, who had this incredible bad karma. And so bad, as the Buddha said, he would have roasted in hell for 100,000 of years. But while he was practicing as a monk and keeping precepts and developing loving kindness and developing samadhi, he produced so much good karma that all the bad karma was experienced and finished from that attack. Still looks pretty bad, but you have to consider, compared to killing 999 people, and causing the state of fear and fright and anxiety, and I don't know how many thousands or even millions of others, this is a very small thing. And it meant that he had diluted his bad karma, that with that attack it was all over. And very important to patiently endure our bad karma when it comes to fruition. Because if he hadn't been an Arahant and he had maybe retaliated and harmed back, then it wouldn't be completely gone, because by now we have created new bad karma. So sometimes if you get some attack out of the blue, you haven't really done anything to deserve it. And sometimes that happens, you may have noticed, sometimes experience some hostility or experience some misfortune. Although you're very careful, you didn't intend to hurt or harm anyone, then it's obviously some bad karma from the past. And it's good to remind ourselves, okay, some bad karma is gone now by that unpleasant or painful experience. And let me be careful that I'm not now getting angry and lash out and create more bad karma. That would be a pity. Another little story of Angulimala is all in the Angulimala Sutta in Majjhima Nikaya. Isn't it? Angulimala is going arms round again, and there's a expectant mother in labor, and both she and the child are having some major problems, not exactly described. There's no medical terms, but they're in big trouble, both of them. It is very easy in ancient India, wasn't in the hospital, wasn't medical attention. And that was a very difficult birth and didn't work out. And seeing that on arms round, Angulimala felt compassion And when he came back and he expressed to the Buddha how much beings are suffering. And then the Buddha told him, okay, if you want to help them, both the mother and the child, you just go back. And then you say, since I'm born, I cannot remember that I have intentionally deprived a living being of their life. Since I have been born, I cannot remember that I have intentionally killed a living being. Angulimala is taking it back a little bit, and he said, but Bhante, if I said that, wouldn't that be a lie, because I've killed 999 people? However, the Buddha counts different, and once you're ordained, that counts as like a new life. So what the Buddha meant since his life as a Buddhist monk. It's quite fascinating that the Buddha takes that almost for granted, that the act of renouncing your previous life and getting ordained and living completely different is virtually like a new life. So he tells Angulimala, okay, in that case, so just tell her, ever since I have been born in the holy life, meaning since he's a monk, I cannot recall that I have intentionally killed any living being. So he does that, he goes there and says that three times. And as a result, both the mother and the child now are instantaneously cured and are fine and healthy. And exactly the sentence the Buddha gave to Angulimala is the one we are still chanting as Buddhist monks. Yatohang bhagini adiya yajatiya jato napi janami sanchitcha panang jivita voro peta. Since I have been born in the holy life, sister, addressing the woman as sister here in that case, which was common in ancient India, I cannot recall that I've intentionally killed a living being. Three times repeated. It's also known as an asseveration of truth. There's a belief then if one says with full conviction a very powerful special truth, that it can have some impact on other people, a positive one. And in this case, for Angulimala, it was an incredible powerful truth. That the worst murderer in ancient India had completely changed, and then, since he became a monk, he would have never even killed intentionally a mozzie or an ant. And it's obviously a very powerful truth. And he must have kept the first precepts and all the precepts of a monk with great diligence. So when he said that, it was really true. It was so special, and that had an impact, and somehow caused the mother and the child to be cured. But it also means there's a really ancient pavita, it's not some later tradition or some commentary, as Weidner in the original part of the canon, Majjhima Nikaya, middle length discourses, Angulimala Sutta. There's an event which happened in the Buddha's time, and he himself gave exactly that sentence which we are chanting. Yes.
Can this also help somebody who has complications after an abortion?
Can this help for someone who has complications after abortion? I'm not sure, because an abortion is an act of killing. And so the person themselves reciting that obviously cannot assert a truth that they are not killing. We have to be clear that according to the teaching of the Buddha, an abortion is considered a killing of a human being. So it's a very serious act. And the person doing that, I don't think it would be suitable for them to chant that, because it would be kind of the opposite. It would be just breaking the first precept. As for monks chanting, I think they would use a different chant. because this one doesn't really fit so well. I don't think that would be the one most monks would be picking. There's so many other chants and blessings. And again, even if someone has made that karma of intentionally causing an abortion, whether it's the woman or the doctor or anyone involved in that decision, the same applies what we have been talking about. The first thing is to recognize it as a very unwholesome act with strong negative karma, and then to make a resolution and not to do it in the future, and to keep the first precept in the future, and then to start putting more fresh drinking water into the cup, so to speak, and making good karma. So if anyone has that, and I think it's very common in Western society, because unfortunately there are teachings around that women may be told and may be believing a kind of wrong view, that this is no different from removing a pimple or doing anything else with your body when you do any minor modification on your body. So many women may do that, not being aware that it has serious karmic consequences and that it actually is a human being. So I think it's in a quite common Western society. So if anyone later feels regret, the whole story of Angulimala should be an encouragement. Even if it is bad karma, and we can come out of it, and we resolve to do better in the future and to keep the first precepts in particular, but all five, and then we make heaps of good karma. One shouldn't underestimate it. It's quite known also among meditation teachers that it creates a big obstruction often for women in meditation. Yeah. It's quite known. It comes out, and it may be particular if the woman has a view that it doesn't really matter. Now she may not notice it so much because it's pushed away. But in meditation, when people get in a more refined, subtle mind state, it usually comes up, and they do notice, and they feel regret and some unwholesome states coming up. But it's possible to come out of it. I couldn't understand that, but two people talking. If you maybe repeat what you were saying.
Her intent was that she was not sure if she was able to properly care for the child. And it's more like, rather than to bring the child into a world of misery, rather to get rid of it and try to...
Of course, and it can be very, very, very difficult decisions. And the motive is opposite. Obviously, in a part of the intensity of the karma. If someone does it very lightheartedly because they just don't want any inconvenience and having the responsibility of looking after a child, I think that would be obviously worse karma than if someone does it out of quite a desperate situation. But the precepts, the way the Buddha explains them, there's usually no reason good enough, so to speak, in order to break the precept. So even in situations where it's very difficult, there's still some form of unwholesome karma. There's also possibilities, for example, with giving the child for adoption. I know cases where that has happened. It's also not necessarily easy for the child, but it would be better than killing a human being. Dr. Gamini, that's another one. Does it depend, if one kills another human being, does it depend on how bad the karma is? According to how intelligent or well developed they are. the most crucial factor is the pavamis in the heart. That will determine the karma. That is both for good karma and bad karma. This is why if you give something to the Buddha, it obviously has an outrageous good karma, because the Buddha has a complete freedom from all defilements, has a completely pure heart, and has a superior parami, all the spiritual faculties, like wisdom, compassion, mindfulness, samadhi, energy, faith, and so on, that they are maximum in the Buddha. This is why the karma is the most powerful. It will depend much less on how grown the person is, because the parami are already there, even in a very young person. They're not yet coming out. It's just like someone may have an outrageous mathematical talent or musical talent. When Mozart was only a newborn child, and he already had an outrageous musical talent. But when he was just newborn, it couldn't manifest yet. It would come out a little bit later, but the quality in the heart, I think, would be the same with Einstein, mathematical or physics talent. And it's the same with the spiritual qualities. So whether the being is still even in gestation, not yet born, or whether they're newborn, or whether they're 5-year-old, or 20-year-old, or 50-year-old, that doesn't matter so much. The more crucial factor is the strength of the parami and spiritual faculties in the heart. So normally you wouldn't be able to tell it, because unless you have psychic powers, you wouldn't really know it. So the karma one is making by killing a human being will be vastly different. One on the side of your motivation and intention and so on. The self-defense is probably less bad karma than someone killing out of sheer joy and fun in killing. That's obviously more evil. So that is one side, the intention, motivation of the person doing the killing. But another huge impact is simply the purity of the being who is being killed. And that one usually can't really know. And there's a huge danger if a being has unusually high power, then you make incredible bad karma. Anyway, the crucial point is, whatever bad karma it is, whether we have maybe had abortions, or we have been soldiers or fishermen or gangsters or whatever in past lives or even in this life, Angulimala, that is a story to give us hope. And we can always change, we can stop. This is a key word, titta in Pali, and a stand still, stop. And whatever bad karma we may have made, we can not change the past, but we can change right now. We can stop now. And we can continue stopping and not doing it for the future. And we can start making good karma punya right now. And we can continue making good karma punya in the future. And then we can, whatever bad karma it may be in the past, we can gradually dilute it till it may be coming out and it's just a day of a bad headache. Or you get the coronavirus and have a little bit of a fever and some body aches for a few days. And some bad karma, some really big bad karma may be off and gone, because you have been doing so much good karma that you have diluted it and it's gone. And also shows the incredible power of changing. Because that assertion of truth that Angulimala made, the reason it was so powerful and had the effect of curing that mother and the newborn child, is that he did this amazing act of stopping such an incredible unwholesome life and turning it around completely. Never too late. We can do it. And even if you're already doing quite fine, that is the other important simile in meditation. Don't run after the Buddha. It doesn't work. It's just like what these famous rich Greek ship owner Onassis, have you heard of him? I think he was married to Jackie Kennedy or something. He also gave people the advice, and if you want to become rich, you shouldn't run after the money. It doesn't work. Don't run after the Buddha. In meditation, the trick is not to stand still. The samatha means calming, quietening. And a lot of our practice, our whole practice, can be actually expressed in that sense. Now we first calm and quieten, and we stop killing, stealing, adultery, lying, and alcohol and intoxicants, and that's a form of stopping. You don't do that anymore. Already calming down. And then we are calming down our indulgence in sensuality, and we are practicing sense restraint, stopping, gradually stopping. And then we are stopping the body moving. When you sit meditation, you're quiet. You quite literally stop the body from moving. And then you start stopping the mind, stopping the thinking, stopping emotions, fantasies, stopping all these unwholesome mind states, till the mind is completely calm and quiet. And attain samadhi. And then in the end, one stops with wisdom and insight, all fabrications, all sankharas, which are still fabricating and creating even samadhi, are still in a fabricated conditioned state. And with wisdom and insight, one can see the process, how the mind is doing that, and even subtle states of samadhi being actively created. And when one stops that and one doesn't create anything, then the experience of awakening, of nibbana, will occur. Okay, that's my little talk today. Unless there are any more questions, comments. So never give up on you, never give up on other people, never reject someone. That's another important lesson. Sometimes we feel, oh, that person is hopeless, they could never be a good Buddhist. But just like we should never give up hope about ourselves, just so we should never reject any person, whatever they may have done. Because Angulimala shows that even people which we think are irredeemably evil may actually have parami in their heart, which are just buried, and they may be able to turn around and change completely. So it's good that we acknowledge and provide that opportunity to everyone, and never completely reject anyone. Okay, thanks for your patience.